Have your Bible. We're in the Gospel of Luke from our Gospel lesson. Luke chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 32. And the title of the sermon is, We've Only Just Begun. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you that you know exactly who we are, how many we are, exactly where we are, exactly what it is we're going through. This has always been the case with your church. And with your bride, you have promised to her a glorious future, giving even unto her the kingdom. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Help us know of it and walk in it this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've only just begun. If that title strikes you as familiar as in being one of those oldie carpenter songs, I promise today I would restrain myself and not break out into singing. We've only just begun. But if that strikes you as that carpenter's song, you are exactly right. It was released in 1970. We've Only Just Begun was a hit single from a larger mega album called Close to You. This morning, there's another carpenter. Another carpenter. His name is Jesus Christ, who also longs to be close to you. He longs to be close to you. And his encouragement to us today is also the reminder that we've only just begun. During our Sunday school hour, we noted that this summer our church turned 40. And this fall, our school will turn 25. These milestones certainly are worth noting, if not celebrating. They also not only mark, but coincide with the time frames that are not foreign in the Bible. Not only so, but look around, we're small. We are small, just like that little flock that Jesus is referencing here in Luke 12 and 32. They had only just begun. And likewise, I want us to see that we have only just begun. The passage in Luke references a group that would remain challenged, very challenged and stressed, for at least the next 40 years. This was a group that, until Jesus came with great judgment upon Jerusalem, 40 years later in 70 AD, they would always be suspect in the culture. They would always have second place in the hearts and in the mind of the populace. Nevertheless, he promised them that they had only just begun. He had promised them the kingdom. As we go through our scriptures today, I want us to be on the lookout. Look out for themes and applications that we can glean from those who have gone on before us. And what are some of those themes and applications we'll look at? Well, first of all, one is this idea to be patient. The second one is this need to have a time perspective as we read the Bible. Just because one thing may follow another, a verse right prior to it, it may seem like things are moving in our McDonald's instantaneous mentality that we have as moderns, but is not at all reflective of what the text is showing or teaching. The need for patience, the need for a time perspective, the need for immediate readiness to always be on guard. Have your loins girt about you, ready to run, ready to go, ready to stay, ready for God breaking forth. And then finally, as a theme and an application, the recognition that grace is not dependent upon perfection. Not at all. We'll get to our lectionary readings about Abraham in just a minute, but since the passage here in Luke revolves around that 40-year time frame, that 40-year window, that same age as Oakwood, we will start with another prominent 40-year-old. His name was Moses. In Acts, in chapter 7, and beginning in verse 23, we can read about him. We referenced this in Sunday school. Acts 7 and 23, when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Moses at 40 was just beginning. He was just getting started. He was a full 40 years old. We know other things about him from his birth and how God had his hand upon him and his miraculous beginning. But just getting started here as a 40-year-old. And I guess one of the things that I want to say here today is this. Are you open to Oakwood at 40 as we've only just begun? Are we even open to the idea that the better days for us are ahead? That the more significant work that we have will be in the future? Not at all to diminish what we've done in the past. You see, Moses' more significant work did not even begin here when he started at 40. Not at all. In Sunday school, we had read this whole passage here, but if we skip right over to verse 30 here, it says, and when 40 years were expired, see, when he was a full 40 years old, he went down and he talked to his brothers, and they had that little conflict there, and then he was exiled, and he spent 40 more years before he saw the burning bush. And it was 40 more years, his most significant work began when he was 80. And he went back and he went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. He's 80 years old. And yeah, there's miracles there. And yet there's another 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. He ends up dying right before they get to the promised land. But he's 120 years old. And then the people of Israel enter into the promised land. 40 years later, at 80, Moses begins his most significant work. We could read through this very short passage here. We read it in Sunday school when we were having our business meeting there. We could read through this, though, in about a half a minute. And if we're not careful, we might find and we might end up thinking that things actually happened that rapidly. Well, maybe not a half a minute, but maybe it was a week later. Maybe a year later. If we're not careful, we will think that things happened that rapidly, that all these things were instantaneous in Moses' life. But the truth is, it is not so. It would be 40 years, plus 40 years, plus another 40 years in the Sinai wilderness before they entered that promised land. And so clearly there's a call for patience. Clearly, there is the need for a time perspective. The same understanding helps inform the Abram to Abraham story that we read about. Our reading of it from Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, really kind of drops us into the middle of this. And in the middle of this story, there is what is really a repeat for us and for him, reminding him that, you know what, as many as the stars are in the sky, as many as the sea that are by the seashore, that's what my progeny will be. That's how many kids I'm going to have. I'm going to be that great. I'm going to be that father of nations. We are dropped into the middle of this story here. An earlier reference point for us would be Genesis 12, 1 and 2. And there, also, we see this idea of promises made to him. He is initially called. He's initially called by God to go out from his country, from his father's house. And God says that he is going to make of him a great nation. So Genesis 15 is kind of dropped in the middle of the story. A beginning reference point for this aspect of Abram's life. It didn't even begin there, but a reference point, just like when Moses was a full 40 years old. But here we see God intervening and making a promise that he's going to be a great nation. And by the way, when we get to the next verse here, verse 3, it ends up telling us, I will bless them that bless you, I will curse him that curses you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth end up being blessed. If we look at that passage, and we're going to end up seeing from chapter 12 here, I think I have the wrong reference down there, but if we look at verse in chapter 12, it's going to give us a time reference for us here in Genesis chapter 12. Maybe I have the wrong verse here. Sorry, verse 4. Abraham departed. He obeys God, and we find out that he's 75 years old. Can we get verse 4 there? Perfect. Thank you, Christian. Give her a hand. Doesn't she do a great job there? I got lost, and she had found me before I had found myself. Praise God. Lot went out. Abraham there, he was 75. So at the beginning of, this is kind of like a Moses when he's fully 40 years old. He's 75 here. Now, I don't tell you that to tell you that he's simply 75 years old and good things can happen to old people. That's true, but that's not why I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is that these promises are made to him when he's 75. That he will be this father of many nations. And yet more and more unfolds and years begin to pass. Years and years begin to pass. Quickly, and I hope I have these right here, if we look at chapter 13, we look at verses 14, and there still is this whole idea that these promises are made. And the next verse, verse 15 here, we see that all of this land, look, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to your seed. He doesn't have any kids at this point. He's 75. Years are going by. He's being reminded of all these promises. He still has no kids, but he's being reminded of what's going to happen with his children, for his children, of which he has none. I think verse 16 is going to kind of tell us the same thing. I will make your seed like the dust of the earth. Wow, if you could count it. Which you can't. You could count them as well. Years begin to pass by. Abram still has no children. God repeats all the promises that he's going to do to his children, for his children, but still no kids. That brings us back to chapter 15 and verse 5, where we dropped into the story. And again, there's the promise repeated. He brought him forth, he said, look up, look down, look at the stars, look at the sand, more than all of this. Promise, promise, promise. As a matter of fact, you get to verse 18 of this chapter, and it ends up saying that, in this day the Lord made a covenant with him, saying, unto your seed, not only are you going to have a bunch of them, all right, but I am giving them an inheritance. Not only are you getting them, but they are going to get an inheritance. Now, you don't even have kids, but you know what's going to be left to them. Amazing promises, but still no kids. We could fast forward, so to speak, as these years and years and years go by. 10 more years, chapter 16 and verse 1. 16 and verse 1, Sarah, his wife, is barren, no children. We did have a handmaid there. If we look at verse 3, we're going to end up finding here that they were there. They had come out already 10 years. You see it there in the middle? 10 years later, still no kids, according to the promise. No kids according to the promise. We know this passage here. Hagar's there, and, there's this little bit of, Sarah says, hey, this isn't working out with me. Maybe it'll work out with her. God's covenant, God's seed, was not designed to be fulfilled with Hagar, the slave girl. Abraham fathers a child, chapter 16 and verse 16. Abraham was 86 years old. Remember, he started this segment here at 75. It's now 11 years later. They went 10 years being barren. Hagar comes on the scene, the slave girl. He has a child with her. That's Ishmael. But still not the promised seed. But he's 86 years old. Ishmael, still not the child or the seed of the promise. For that, we have to wait a little bit longer. we go to chapter 17, when Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years old. He's 99 years old. He still doesn't have a head. And God is repeating and making more promises to him about what's going to happen with his seed and with his kid. And not Ishmael. I'm the Almighty, walk before me and be thou perfect. If we look at verse 2 of this same chapter here, I will make a covenant between me and you and will multiply thee exceedingly. This started at 75, he's now 99, he still has no kids according to the promise. And the promises keep coming about those kids, but the kids haven't arrived yet. Genesis 17, over to verse 6. A little bit more in the way of promises. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Kings will come out of you. God's really pouring it on here in terms of all these promises. Promises, promises. In chapters 19 and chapter 20, there are all sorts of detours there. You remember the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember the story about having to flee and coming under the protection of Elimelech, the king. Finally, not till chapter 21 does Isaac come forth. Chapter 21 and verse 5. Abraham was 100 years old, 25 years. That there begins to be the fulfillment of this promise. This promises that would extend such that there would be a heritage that would be as many as the stars of the sky, as many as the sea that are by the sea, the sand that is by the seashore, kings, nations would come. The beginning of it began 25 years later with the birth of Isaac. And Abraham is 100. But you know what? It's interesting that even after that, here's Isaac. Again, the promise is not just you'll have a son. The promise is going to be that there's going to be you're going to be the father of many nations and all these kids and just expanse and everything. A couple of years later, we find out, actually probably as many as 15 years later, if our scholarship is correct, that we see the young boy, Isaac, about 15 years old is the best estimate and guess that we can have in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2, where Abraham is now called to sacrifice him. Oh, I waited 25 years for him, and now you're telling me to sacrifice him. I think we know how that story goes. But it's still not all smooth sailing because Abraham, even God rescues him from that sacrifice and there's the ram caught in the thicket, he replaces him. We all know that story. But even as Isaac continues to grow up and Isaac becomes married to Rebekah. And you think, oh boy, it's all smooth sailing now. Well, guess what? Isaac's kids with Rebekah are Jacob versus Esau fighting. Doesn't sound like, oh, happy day to me. And so again, my early points here are, let's be done with this impatience and this compression of time that we read our Bibles with. Let's be done with that compression of time in terms of God's work in history. Let's be done with that compression of time in terms with which God, we force God to work in our lives. Oakwood's at 40. Oakwood Christian Schools at 25. As I look at these, as I look at Moses, as I look at Abraham, we've only just begun. Abraham's best and most significant work and his most significant impact began after 25 years. We've rehearsed how Moses began at 40, his best and his most significant work in part more than two more sets of 40 years. 40 years prior to the tearing down of those Jewish temple walls, Jesus promises that little flock, you know what? Yours is the kingdom. They would wait at least 40 years for that. So we need patience, and we need hope, and we need time perspective. we also need readiness. He knows when he's going to break forth. He knows when he's going to come on the scene and fulfill the promises. He may year after year be repeating those promises, and we swallow hard. But he asks us to be ready. Will we be ready 25 years from now? Are we ready today to receive the promises? Even though we've been here 40 years, even though we've been here 25 years, he knows when he will break upon the scene, and we don't know that. Our passage in Luke strongly urges us about our urgent commitment and our readiness. Luke 12 and verse 35 now. Let your loins be girded. That they were. If you want to run, you got to gird them up. You got to pick them up. You got to be ready to move. And so our call here today is not to evaluate things by the present, not to evaluate them by the present size, by the present shape of things, by the present status of things, but to be patient and to be ready. The greatest basketball coach of all time, John Wooden, said, "Be quick, but don't be in a hurry." Be patient, be ready. Don't go too rapidly. Don't be in a hurry, but be quick and be ready. Ready for him to break through. Spectacular blessings and blossoms often emerge in the Bible and in history, which are years, sometimes decades, sometimes centuries in the making. The balance of the passage in Luke chapter 12, if we were to look at how it ends up in verse 40, finds its fulfillment at least 40 years into their future. At least. This idea of the Son of Man coming. Christ came in judgment upon Israel in 70 AD. The promises made were at least 40 years later. 40 years into their future. And it has application that extends even into our future for the final culmination and coming of Christ in history. Our readings from Hebrews fill out Abraham's story even more. Remember, we read from Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, chapters and verses 11 and 12, we read about Sarah, and we read about some of the human obstacles, we might say, that were present. In verses 11 and 12, we read about her, and we read about the fact that she was past age. We read about him, and the Bible says that him who was as good as dead, yikes. And so I say to you, Oakwood at 40 and Oakwood Christian School at 25, you are not too old for God to act and for God to answer. As a matter of fact, you are not ever too old for God to act and for God to answer. Other prophets spoke about the same way in which God intervenes in people's lives, fulfilling his purposes in ways they cannot even imagine. In Isaiah, in chapter 54 here, there's this familiar passage, "Sing, O barren." Some of you have never had children. Some of you have lost children. God's promises are still going to be fulfilled in you. There's plenty of work for us to do. There's plenty of room for us to have hope. You know that passage in Isaiah 54. Hebrews 11 continues to teach us. It teaches us even more than the idea that you want to her that was past age and to him that was good as dead, promises were fulfilled. It teaches us more than that. It teaches us God works continues beyond us. Because in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. There are members of that little flock that aren't in their flesh with their earthly eyes going to the kingdom. Some answers come after. But you will see, you'll still see them, you'll see them with glorified eyes. From above. On the work that God has done in your children. On the work that God has done in your adopted children. And by adopted children, I mean those biological children that are adopted, those spiritual children that are adopted. You'll still see them. You'll see them with your glorified eyes. Because only a portion of our inheritance is received in the here and now. A portion of our inheritance. You know, if I were to modify another song, I know I referenced We've Only Just Begun. But there's another notable song, and it says, when we've been there 10,000 years. But really, we've only just begun. Even there, 10,000 years in glory, not only experiencing wonderful things there, but continuing to see the fulfillment of His promises taking place on earth with the spiritual eyes He's going to give us. And so let us note and consider our lives and our milestones. We do well to do so. To note them and to consider them in terms of time. To note and consider them in terms of having patience. To note and to consider them in terms of readiness. I'm going to be revisiting a book that I had a slight affiliation with in the past, and I need to get back into it. But the title is intriguing. Called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. That's kind of like being Abraham when you're 25 and year after year after year you keep hearing the same promises. No children, no children, no children. Greater promises about your children. No children, no children. Greater promises about even the inheritance that those kids are going to get. No children, no children. Greater promises about how many there would be and how the kings would come and nations would come from that. Still no children. But a long obedience in the same direction, walking with God, being patient, yet maintaining a readiness. So we do well to know time and patience and readiness. But there's a final thing that I want to bring to us here. There's one more thing for us to note and to consider, and that is this. Grace does not require. Grace is not dependent upon perfection. Can anyone say amen? Right? I'm going to really speed dial here. I'll just do two of them. Moses was a murderer in the middle of this. Doesn't sound like sinless perfection to me. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 28, one of the other Hebrews said, hey, are you going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday? He didn't exercise perfect patience in all of this. We could look at other missteps that Moses makes along the way. When he's frustrated, he strikes the rock. I could go on and on for a long time to get the idea that God fulfills His promises in Moses, but Moses isn't perfect, and the fulfillment is not because of his perfection. We could talk about the lapses that Abraham had. We look at Genesis chapter 16 and verse 2, and this fills out that story a little bit more about the slave girl. I'll leave it to you whether or not the real sin was listening to his wife or actually what he did with this. That's a joke. But he wasn't perfect. Far from it. He had lapses in terms of his trusting God and trusting more in his flesh. And how am I going to make this happen? You know, in your life and in our life here at church, in our life here at school, have we been perfect? And all God's people said no, right? Have we from time to time been trusting in our own strength? Yes. Puts us in the company of Moses. Puts us in the company of Abraham. Still, the consequence in the lives of God's people has not been about them. And any measure of their perfect faith or perfect walk or perfect obedience, perfect virtue, it's all been about God in His perfect faithfulness. Luke 12 and 32, we close where we began. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. In a moment, we're going to close. And our closing song was written 1,000 years before God brought forth the Messiah to be its fulfillment. Oakwood at 40, Oakwood Christian School at 25, we've only just begun. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your promises, for your faithfulness. We thank you for the way that you work through history, that truly it is your story. Father, we ask that we would learn this lesson here about patience. We'd learn the lesson about time references, that we would be done with this shrinking of time. We thank you for the lessons that we can learn about readiness, about having our loins girded, and our lamps, our lights burning. Father, we thank you for the lessons that we learned here about grace. Father, above and including in all of these things, we thank you that you fulfill your promises, that you sent your Son, that you informed us about your Son even 1,000 years before he came. And even more. Help us this day. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bless Oakwood Christian School, and we would ask that you would bless this, your little flock at Oakwood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.